When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Crossover Sports Illustrated's NBA show, breaking down the latest news, rumors, and everything in between. Here's your host, Chris Mannix and Rohan Nadkarni.
All right, jumping back on the podcast to react to the big news that broke on Wednesday night. Draymond Green has been suspended by the NBA indefinitely in the aftermath of the quasi-punch that Draymond gave to Jusuf Nurkić in the third quarter of their game in Phoenix on Tuesday night. Mark Medina does a great job covering the NBA, Sportsnot, Sportskeeda, the Sporting Tribune, every outlet that's out there right now, Fox Sports Radio. He's all over the place. Mark, this was a surprise because when this happened, my first reaction was a suspension is coming. I did not expect an indefinite suspension. What the NBA did here, in my eyes, is that they're giving Draymond Green the Ja Morant treatment. This is a Ja Morant type suspension where the NBA is saying, we're sitting you down and we're not going to bring you back, or we're not going to let you back until you've kind of figured some things out and we're convinced that this is not going to happen again. So, you know, give me your kind of interpretation of the NBA suspending Draymond indefinitely.
Yeah, I think my interpretation is pretty much in line with yours. When I saw the replay, I knew that obviously a suspension was happening, and I knew that it was going to be longer than the five-game suspension that he had for putting Rudy Gobert in a chokehold, especially because it was only a few weeks ago. But I thought that because of Draymond's reputation, because of the fact that he's had a handful of these recently and precedent, that I thought it would be 7 to 10 games. I used apples and oranges, but Meta World Peace gave James Harden a concussion at the end of the 2011-12 season. He got 7 games for that, where he clocked him, elbowed him, he got a concussion. So I thought it might have been along those lines. But here, the NBA potentially is drawing a firmer line in the sand because it's indefinite, because of the fact that they're putting in their press release yet once again, that part of the punishment had to do with the account of what they said Green's repeated history of unsportsmanlike acts. And they also made it clear that there are bench points that he has to reach. Now, it's not exactly clear what those benchmarks are going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised that it's not only talking with Draymond Green and the Warriors, but, you know, see if he gets counseling, anger management. Those are things that have been brought up ever since the Jordan Poole punch, on whether Draymond Green would seriously explore those things. And he would dismiss those. He would, you know, be apologetic somewhat about, you know, obviously his act, and he's got to be better than this and control his emotions. But he always pushed back against any sort of notion that he needed counseling or any kind of therapy to address this kind of behavior.
So the history unquestionably plays a role in all this. I've seen a variety of different numbers out there as far as what Draymond has racked up, but it's more than 170 technical fouls in his career. It's more than 20 flagrant fouls in his career. This season alone, Mark, he has been ejected from 3 games. It's mid-December, and he's been ejected from 3 games already. The Warriors' record during games that Draymond has either been suspended for or ejected is 2-8. And that doesn't even take into account what happened with Jordan Poole during training camp last year, where there was no league suspension, but in a similar way, it was Golden State saying, you know, go away for a while. We'll deal with this. We'll bring you back when we deem it's appropriate. Now, we didn't wind up missing any regular season games there, but we've been in this place before. And the NBA has got to be really frustrated with all this. I mean, Joe Dumars has to be frustrated with this. Joe Dumars is as close with Draymond Green as he is any player in the NBA right now. They are both Michiganders. Joe Dumars has talked at length about how Draymond used to come over to his house when Joe Dumars was a member of the Pistons. Draymond has described Joe Dumars in the past as being a father figure type. Now, Joe Dumars, as the dean of discipline, has had to mete out some significant punishments, from the one game in the playoffs last year to the five games, you know, for putting Rudy Gobert in that chokehold, and now to this indefinite suspension. That sort of speaks to the frustration that the NBA is feeling right now. I don't know. You know, Draymond did his best after the game against Phoenix to do a lot of damage control. He was out there. He apologized to Yusuf Nurkic. He tried to convince people in the room that he was just trying to sell a call. I don't think too many people in the room bought it. Clearly, afterwards, Yusuf Nurkic bought it. And look, don't underestimate the impact of Yusuf Nurkic's statements. Like, if Yusuf Nurkic had gone out and said, Ali, you know, I understand it was a bang-bang play, heat of the moment, sometimes, you know, your arm can go flying. Yusuf Nurkic said Draymond needs help. He went out there and effectively said that. So I think that Nurkic's reaction had a lot to do with it. What did you think?
Yeah, I think on top of that, the Warriors themselves, they're a team that, look, you can look at through two lenses. Maybe they see that the benefits of having Draymond with the championships, or some think that they've been enabling him all these years. They've clearly changed a tone as well, not just with this latest incident, but with the Gobert chokehold. You know, I think a day after, once things settled in, the rhetoric coming out of the Warriors camp was at least, hey, Draymond needs to know how to be available for us on the floor because mm-hmm. we need him. And I think that that was a clear sign that they're starting to get fed up with him too. And even for those that have been defenders of Draymond over the years, not just for his, you know, obvious defensive talent and his ability to be this really distinguishable playmaker, but this idea that there's always this gray area and you don't want to temper his emotions because then it'll deny him being able to play at the kind of intensity that makes him great. These incidents itself, there are no gray areas. And for someone like Draymond, who has incredible basketball IQ and being able to defend at all five positions, make so many quick decisions on the floor and do things as a playmaker, like, he should be able to still apply those kind of concepts quickly in real time with the same things as far as managing his emotions and making decisions on the court, so that if we are going to take Draymond at his word, and I don't with this, but if we are going to, this idea that he's trying to sell a call, well, you didn't sell it well at all, because you clocked someone in the face with a very huge windup. So I think it's gotten to the point, Chris, where he's just ran out of excuses. And even for Draymond, it's gone beyond Draymond being Draymond. This is in a whole different stratosphere of an unacceptable behavior.
And let's be clear, most people listening to this have seen the play in question by now. That wasn't an egregious foul by Yusuf Nurkic. Yes, he had a fistful of his jersey while Draymond was posting up, but I think the reaction from Draymond had as much to do with Nurkic kicking his ass for most of that game and not what he was experiencing in that moment. So I think that needs to be said. The question now is, what do the Warriors do in this situation? Because, look, they just gave Draymond a four-year contract. He's under contract for $100 million over the next 4 years. But this team is bad. Like, they're now, like, as we speak, 2.5 games back of the final play-in spot in the Western Conference. Klay Thompson has deteriorated incredibly quickly. Andrew Wiggins, same boat. He hasn't been anywhere close to the player he's been over the last couple of years. Now you have Draymond out for probably at least 10 games. I'm just speculating there, but I'm going to guess he's gone for at least 10 games. The schedule is pretty tough over the next four. I think they're in Brooklyn, then they've got Boston. So they're in a place where they could be like 10 games under 500 before Draymond is eligible to come back. And this is not the place where Joe Lacob envision this team to be. I mean, they're paying like $400 million for this team this year when you, you know, factor in all the luxury tax penalties. So what do the Warriors do here? What's their play now that the league has slapped Draymond with an indefinite suspension?
That's the thing, Chris. I'm glad I'm not Joe Lacob or Mike Dunleavy Jr. with making these decisions, because I feel they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. Because the ironic part with this season is that even before Draymond's injury and his different suspensions, they were not good with him or without him. And that's not to say that Draymond hadn't been playing well, especially defensively, but just didn't trickle down enough where they're getting enough wins, because Klay's struggles were pervasive. Same thing with Andrew Wiggins. Really, outside of Steph Curry, there was no offensive identity in the starting lineup. And then the only other silver lining of this season for the Warriors has been, you know, Chris Paul. He's embracing the six-man role, and he's been good with that. But when you're having such egregious performances in the rest of the starting lineup, you can't make up for it. But does that mean the Warriors blow it up and decide to do that? I think since you have
let's look at that. What would that look like? Like what would it look like for the Warriors to blow it up? Because not a lot of guys on that team have real value. Like Draymond right now has no value. He's got 4 years left in his deal. He's a lesser player and he's going through all this. Klay Thompson, last year of his contract, no real value. Andrew Wiggins, he has less value now than he did in Minnesota, if you can believe that. So the only guy with real, well, a couple of guys. I think Moses Moody has value because he looks like he's going to be a player. Maybe Kuminga has a little bit of value, although I don't know who's clamoring to go acquire Jonathan Kuminga. And, of course, Steph has the most value because even at 35 years old, he still looks like an MVP caliber player. I don't even know what blowing it up looks like for Golden State.
You said it perfectly. I mean, obviously, she's going to be there the rest of his career. But the points that you made about Klay and Draymond, especially, even if they are obviously not at their best, Klay from his shooting, Draymond with his behavior, you're not going to get any value because of the market right now with them seeing how they are with the Golden State Warriors. And while, you know, I do understand the value that they've had in their career, they've certainly had an additional value because they're part of the Warriors ecosystem with what Klay means to Steph and vice versa, with Draymond means to Steph to vice versa. So you're not going to not only get something that's not a value, but you're not going to get something that's as good of a fit. And then I think the marginal options that you're talking about, Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah. I mean, you can try to flip them for some positional veterans, but like, what's that going to do fundamentally? So I think that they're really stuck in purgatory, and they just hope that Steph stays healthy, plays at a great level, and at some point Klay and Wiggins get out of their slump and Draymond gets his act together. But the problem, Chris, is even though they've all had a proven track record of being able to do those things, I think in the context of this season, that's asking a lot of things to hit at once that, you know, in this quarter of the season, we just haven't seen them hit on a consistent basis.
No, and I'm looking at Klay's numbers right now. Last season, he shot 41% from three. This year, he's down to 34%. Last season, he was 43%, 44% from the field. He's down to 39%. We saw him at the end of that game against Phoenix riding the bench late in the fourth quarter for maybe the first time ever. I can't recall a time in a competitive game where Klay Thompson has been out of the lineup in favor of, you know, Brandon Pajeski in that lineup, who's really good, by the way, or some of these other young players. I just don't know what the play is for Mike Dunleavy Jr., unless you're going to jettison Steph Curry. You know, the market for Steph Curry is obviously incredibly robust. But what you're saying is, you know, kind of cross your fingers and hope that some of these guys come together. Well, Klay Thompson is getting up there in age. Draymond Green is getting up there in age. I don't know what's going on with Andrew Wiggins. He's probably the... Yeah, some of these other guys, I can understand the regression, but Andrew Wiggins confounds me a little bit. I don't know if you can expect any of these guys to turn it around. I think it's just as likely that this regression continues. So then it becomes the question of, do you put Stephen Curry on the table? I can't see it happening. They want this guy to retire as a member of the Warriors. He wants to play for one team his whole career, but you knew that this dynasty or this group was going to have an expiration date. And everything I've seen this season tells me this is the year that their expiration date has come to pass.
Yeah. Well, even with how bad this is, like, I can't ever see the day that Steph is getting traded with the Warriors. It'll only have to get to the point where he's drawing the line in the sand. And I don't think that would ever happen. But as far as what I'm outlining, like, as much as it is a best of bad options of just staying put, I'm talking about leaning the trade deadline, leaning the next season. Like, if this is the continued track lean into those two benchmark periods. That's when they have to say, you know what, this is the end of this core as we know it. And we do know, to your point, Chris, that, you know, all things, good things come to an end. But ideally, they had always hoped, even during the Kevin Durant years, that at some point when players are getting older, it would be the San Antonio Spurs route, where their expiration dates, because their core players are all just getting old. And it's a matter of just, you know, buying them time with just getting good positional players, getting some young players that can juice the mix.
Their young players haven't done it. Like their opportunity was to draft young guys that could be way more productive than they are right now. James Wiseman, drafting him was catastrophic. You know, didn't seem that way at the time because they were still a successful team, but that was a Darko-esque draft pick. That was catastrophic for that team. You know, Kuminga, Moody, neither one of them has really established themselves as, you know, got cornerstone type players. So, you know, I just don't know what to do. And, you know, look, it is sacrilegious to suggest that you trade Steph Curry, but how is this that much different than, you know, where Boston was, you know, years ago when Danny Ainge jettisoned Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett? Now, those guys were probably past their prime more than Steph Curry, but man, like, this team's not going anywhere. Like, he's got Steph under contract for two more years after this season. Clay, I'd be probably gone after this year. So I would probably at least test the market and see what it is for Steph Curry, either this trade deadline or more likely next summer.
Yeah, I suspect that if it ever gets to that point, and if it ever does lead that road where they decide to do it, they do that in stages where they, you know, either let Clay leave as a free agent next summer, do some sort of trade before that. Same thing with Draymond. And then if, you know, the option's there, it's clearly things aren't going anywhere. That's when they make the ultimate, decision with not having Steph be in a Warriors uniform, the ultimate career. But I can't see it ever getting to that point, but I can certainly see it getting to the first stage where we see that Clay and Draymond aren't spending their entire career with the Warriors. So crazy season. And to tie this up in a bow, as far as what you're saying about the young guys, really the lone exception, but it is a huge qualifier, is what we saw with Jordan Poole. Like, he showed enough development where he did play a role in that championship season, you know, against Boston. But at the same time, when you weigh everything, it was clearly more about the veterans and leaning on them with Steph and Draymond and with Clay. You know, he was, you know, coming off the injury with the ACL and Achilles, so he wasn't the full version of himself. But Andrew Wiggins, he was playing his best basketball at any point of his career. And so the fact that he hasn't been able to do that, it's really been confounding the Warriors, because they felt like, because they knew his reputation and the makeup with Minnesota, where he had the pressure of being the number one guy, that because he's in a complimentary role, he wouldn't have to have this job description that he has to carry a team. He just has to be a number two, three option on a given night. And that's all that they need from him. And he hasn't even been able to do that this season.
No, it's crazy. You know, it's been such a great run, you know, almost a decade long run where this team's been at the top of the NBA, but it feels over at this point. And Draymond and his issues are kind of just the tipping point for this team. You know, who's sitting pretty right now, probably relieved at least, Bob Myers. Bob Myers has to be sitting back going, all right, I exited at just the right time. You know, I'm probably a $20 million per year general manager when I take my next job. I'll leave this to Mike Dunleavy and Joe Lacob to rebuild and fix this mess in Golden State. All right, check out Mark Medina at The Messenger, Sports Kita, Fox Sports Radio. Mark, always appreciate it, man.
Hey, Chris, appreciate you. Always fun talking hoops.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.